Well, welcome to the online service known as the Youth Message. We had put this in the online service to try to stay in touch with all the young people of the church. And guess what? That's all of us, because we're all young at heart. And with that, I take and use some of the same message that I'm going to use at the 11 o'clock hour, but with a little different twist. My message this week is entitled Sword of the Spirit. If you remember some time ago, Tina and Travis and Tina too and Carol Morgan had done a message for the young people at our church, and they based it on putting on the whole armor of God. And they had made shields and swords and all that kind of stuff. It was really a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I'm going to do two scriptures this week. And one of the scriptures comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. New Living Translation says this. Paul said, a final word, be strong with the Lord Almighty's power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule in this world, and against the wicked spirit in the heavenly realm. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle you'll still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In every battle, you'll need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. And put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. And pray for me too. Paul is asking us to pray for him. Ask God to give me the right words as I boldly explain God's secret plan, that the good news is for the Gentiles too. I'm in chains now, preaching this message as God's ambassador, but pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Paul's talking about spiritual warfare, and we're grateful for the blessings of reading and hearing and the understanding of those scriptures in Ephesians. Now, in that letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is describing a vision of a Christian knight, one who has put on the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and shoes that proclaim the gospel of peace, and one who holds a shield of faith, wears the helmet of salvation, and wields the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, Christians are spiritual knights that are worthy and true of a spiritual king, King Jesus the Christ. And the imagery is also, in a sense, in the Gospel of John, which we'll read in a little while, where Jesus describes himself as the Son of Man, and again, the bread of life. And no one can come to him unless it's granted by the Father. And though we recognize that, we have to take a look at that and be able to better understand what Jesus was saying. So let's look again at John chapter 6, and I want to back up again to verse 56, and then we'll go through the end of the chapter. Because these are some hard sayings of Jesus, and the people really didn't understand what he was talking about. So let's review from last week. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood is the true drink. All who eat my flesh and drink my blood remain in me, and I in them. I live by the power of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, those who partake of me will live because of me. I am the true bread from heaven, and anyone who eats this bread will live forever and not die, as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna. Now, verse 59, picking up to the end of the chapter. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. Now, we know now that he was instituting what we call the Holy Communion, which is later in the Gospels as they gathered in the upper room for the Passover meal. Picking it up, verse 60. Even the disciples said, "This is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it?" Jesus knew within himself that his disciples were complaining. So he said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see me, the Son of Man, return to heaven again? It is the Spirit who gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But some of you don't believe me." In parentheses it says, "For Jesus knew from the beginning who didn't believe, and he knew who would betray him." Verse 65. Then he said, "This is what I meant when I said that people can't come to me unless the Father brings them to me." Well, at that point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, "Are you going to leave too?" Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom would we go? You alone have the words to give eternal life. We believe them, and we know you are the Holy One of God." And then Jesus said, "I chose 12 of you, but one is a devil." Now he was speaking of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, one of the 12 who would betray him. Well, may God add the blessings in the reading of his holy and precious word. You know, they were following Christ and they believed Christ. And then when he started teaching them about things, "I don't know about that bread of life and the drink of my blood and all that." Well, they started backsliding. They started leaving. Now, that was a term that was used in the church in the old days, and don't hear it much anymore, although we should. In my 30-some-odd years of ministry, I really never, ever preached on the topic about backsliding. But I should have. I should have spoke about it more than what I did, because the term backsliding, discovered in my research, was popularized in the 1600s by John Bunyan in his famous allegory in Pilgrim's Progress. In that story, you might recall, if you read it, the character of Christian and Hopeful are the religious pilgrimage that they're on. And while on this journey, they begin to discuss the individual by the name of Temporary. I love Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't read it, you need to. And he had started the pilgrimage, but along the way he fell by the wayside. As Bunyan worded it, he backslid. Now, this term was picked up particularly, but not exclusively, by Methodists in the early days of the United States of America, and became a stock phrase. It referred to those faithful individuals who lost interest in their Christian pilgrimage. Now, there's still some denominations who do not affirm the concept of backsliding. They say once saved, always saved. It's usually from the Baptist tradition, but Methodists never affirmed that, because it implies that a person becomes a Christian, then he loses his free will to turn away. The individual who was free to choose the way of Christ, we insist, is still free to turn his back on him. That's exactly what happened with Judas of Iscariot. You see, Jesus just finished one of his more obscure teachings, as we just read in John. And he said several things which confused and even upset of him when he said, "I am the bread of life." Some objected to this language because he was comparing himself to Moses, who gave the children of Israel manna from heaven in the wilderness. Jesus then took it a step further and declared, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven." And this appeared odd to some of them because they knew the son of Mary and Joseph. You know, the son of the carpenter, and not some modern-day Elijah sent from heaven. And then he just flat confused many because he suggested that everyone must eat his flesh and drink his blood. Otherwise, they would die. Now, did that sound cannibalistic? Yeah, a lot of them didn't understand that. But you can understand why in verse 66, as we read. But don't read anything into that. Notice what is said. They turned back. They quit following him. They became, like in Pilgrim's Progress, temporary. Now, I don't think there's a single reason that can be identified as why so many people start following him. Probably a whole bunch of different issues, but probably as one as we've noted, his teaching confused some of them, and his images offended others. But primarily, I think it was his claim to be the new source of life. His claim to be greater than Moses, a new manna. Either way, they weren't buying it, and they left just like that. And one day, then, they were still disciples. But like Peter said, but where should we go? I like that song that Travis and Tina just sang not long ago. Where should we go but to the Lord? Well, I hope and pray that you have a better understanding of backsliding and the sword of the Spirit, because it is a spiritual battle that we're in, that all of us have to deal with. And so we thank Paul for his wisdom and understanding of the sword of the Spirit, so to speak. But I hope and pray that you all are doing well. And it comes down to this. If you accept Christ in your life, then you not only get him in pieces, you get him all. You get him the Father. You get him the Son. And you get him the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you're able to put on the sword of the Spirit to protect you from things and to keep you safe and to proclaim the good news to others. That's the message of the sword of the Spirit. And be guarding against backsliding, because we are in a spiritual war today in the day and time that we live. Well, I hope and pray that you're doing well, and we thank God. We hope to see you in church sometime soon. Tina 2, Travis and Carol Morgan, looking forward to getting the old gospel bus running around the roads, picking you up. I know they're doing it on Wednesday night to take you over to Capital City Church of God, but we sure miss you and look forward to seeing you in church sometime soon. God loves you, and so do I.